All right.
All right, there we are. How is everyone?
I'm pretty good. This is Aisha. I just turned in my tenure packet, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Good for you.
Oh, that's a nice thing to have off your
I desk. Know. And it's due October 15th, so I'm even better.
Yeah.
So. When did you find out?
Next March.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So it will be a while.
Yeah.
It's painful. Okay, I was going to listen to the last call, and I guess the recording didn't click or something like that, but I wasn't able to listen to it. But so I looked back through our notes, and I think we were going to talk about the literature review today.
Okay.
And I wanted y'all to know I did post my summary in Blackboard. So all four summaries are there now.
Okay, I'll post mine there too.
I think it's already there.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that might have been the outline though, right?
I mean, I haven't done more than an outline.
Okay.
Let me see, which call was that? It was under minute summaries and articles, it was call, 14, Wednesday the 28th of July.
Oh, okay, that's the outline, I guess.
Yeah. So I got so mine's there, the skinny one on the end for some reason. But anyways, how would we like to approach this?
I'm looking at the at the minutes. And I think one of the other things we're going to talk about is interview questions and which theme that we wanted to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Should we pick the theme first and then go with interview questions from there?
Sure.
Sounds good to me.
And you guys, I'm taking a minute, so if I'm quiet, it's because I'm typing. Sorry.
Thank you.
But that sounds good to me, too.
Okay. So our themes, I'm looking at our pilot study results, incorrect null hypothesis, which the description is failure to distinguish between the null and alternative hypotheses using the original claim as the null.
Uh-huh.
That was the first one. The second theme, incorrect interpretation of p-value, and the description being percents, decimals, fractions, place value, or relates p-value directly to individuals in the population.
Uh-huh.
And the third was reasoning inconsistency, inappropriate reasoning with the correct choice and vice versa.
Okay.
Those are our three themes. So,
well, the one that I had, I was kind of leaning towards is the question of the p-value. So it seems to kind of get at the other thing too. For what it is, probably you want to be more consistent in your reasoning about it. But I'm not, you know, I had those two, reasoning and the p-value, as the I couldn't pick which one of those two.
Okay. Anyone else?
I chose the same.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that really the incorrect interpretation of the p-value was really what we were trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
I was torn between that and the failure to distinguish between the null and alternative hypothesis, because I also thought that if we focused on that, that would give us some insight on their reasoning and understanding. But my first choice would have been the incorrect interpretation of probability or p-value.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I was torn.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha, do you have a preference?
Yeah, I'm fine with incorrect interpretation of the p-values, and I know at one point, you know, there was so much under that topic, that one heading, because I know specifically I was more interested in looking at the case where they relate the p-value back to the individual,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, telling them something about one specific person. So, yeah, that's fine, interpretation of the misinterpretation of the p-value is fine.
I also like that theme as well, just from a pragmatic standpoint of wanting my students to leave the class, being able to see a p-value and interpret it, you know, and understand it. So it looks like we all feel pretty strongly about that one. Mm-hmm. Is that the one we want to go with?
Sounds good.
Oh, sounds like it.
Okay. All right. So I guess we want the interview questions to be directed at that specifically, or do we want to go general to specific, or had you guys made some questions, like list of questions?
Oh, well, we could both say.
I made two questions. Go ahead.
And actually, I'll send them to you now, so
okay.
you can have them in front of you. Yeah, the first one was, what do you understand by the term p-value? The sense of when they hear that, what do they know about it? And the next one, kind of related to that, is what information does the p-value provide? And then tying it back sort of to the first theme, what role does the p-value play in the process of hypothesis testing? The third and the fourth question that I had are kind of same question, really, now that I look at it. The fourth one is, how is the p-value related to or significant?
Okay.
So it's kind of the four questions that I had.
And I have almost the same exact first question. I have, tell me in your own words what p-value represents. And then my second question was a little, I was still formulating. I said, if you have a small p-value, what does this tell you about the null hypothesis or the alternative hypothesis? And if alpha is smaller, does your answer change? I didn't know if that was too specific, if we were getting too into, I don't know. But those were the two questions that I had, very similar to
Since we have a lot of research on reasoning and, you know, statistical reasoning in particular, mathematical reasoning or logic in general, I mean, do we want to have some questions that maybe elicit some understanding of reasoning? I'm not sure. Maybe that last question you had about the small p-value, what does it tell you about the null, would tap that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the one of the major things that I always like to get my students to get at is, I know it's what Jennifer was talking about, in your own words, but I like to, we do this activity, and I guess this is probably getting ahead, but last time I asked them to, so there's this toothbrush. Have you guys heard of the toothbrush analogy for teaching p-values?
No.
Oh. Okay, I can probably send you guys that. It's from, Bob, have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. So it's this article that talks about the logic of hypothesis testing, where I actually get them to go through and think through what the p-value means as it relates to whether or not you brush your teeth and your face is wet. Right, or your toothbrush is wet. So one of the questions that I asked them the last time was to come up with an analogous situation for the interpretation of the p-value in context. So one of the things, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I would like to not only know if they can actually do the p-value in their specific, okay, here's the 0.51, what does it mean? But kind of, what does this mean in regular old life? Without the null hypothesis being true, you know, words in there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think you probably have to, you know, I mean, just what do they understand about the p-value and how is it useful or relevant to what they do or how they live? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe do you provide a situation where they could maybe draw from the situation?
Yeah, so I give them the toothbrush article, and I'll scan that and send it to you guys today.
Great.
And then they just kind of, you know, work from the toothbrush example, and I ask them to come up with scenarios from their own lives in terms of understanding the logic. So, like, when I'm talking about significance level, you know, we talk about it as, you know, the cutoff in terms of your tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Okay.
So in terms of what questions, I would just like to know what they understand about the p-value as it relates to their own lives and how is it relevant.
I think if we all do that exercise, that could really get some interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see how we're at four different schools, four different teaching styles. Do our students actually know how to do that? You know, that would be interesting.
I'll scan it and send it to you guys.
Is it something that we could possibly add to the
instrument?
The questionnaire?
Oh.
My thought is that if we have that in the interview,
yeah,
we wouldn't have as many at the interview stage as we would at the instrument. I know I wouldn't anyway. I presently have 55 students that are taking one course, and I have 50 students taking another course.
Oh, wow.
Yikes. But, you know, over five sections, but... I don't see that. I wouldn't be able to interview them till after the semester, and I don't know how many of them I'll get back.
Right. I think the number we interview is going to be considerably smaller than, you know, probably have four or five.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting I'll get.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have a good in-depth interview.
Yep.
So is your thought maybe, I mean, I'm thinking both ways on this. Maybe if we just kept it to the interview and had the quality of that response rather than quantity and not the quality.
Mm-hmm. That seems reasonable.
That's what I'm thinking. But I can't imagine interviewing, you know, a whole bunch of students and getting... I think that may be a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
So what are we deciding?
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like we're going to use that as an interview question. If I'm understanding correctly, we're using that as an interview question, and we're only going to have, what, four or five people we interview? Okay. Is that, this is a really picky question, but, I mean, do we want to have the number of interviews proportionate to our class size somehow? I mean... Because I can see some variation because I'm only teaching one section
mm-hmm.
of that particular course, and I only have 30 students. So
I guess my personal feeling is at this point, get as many as we possibly can. I don't know. Because if you set limits, I think that may be a little more difficult.
Should we set a minimum, maybe?
Maybe a minimum. Then if you can get more, that's great. But
okay.
So should we say at least, what, three, four? I don't know.
and how long, well, how long are these interviews? How long were your interviews running, Aisha, when you did this before?
My interviews were about, it ranged. It ranged anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes.
Okay.
But then I was asking, you know, all sorts of different questions. It wasn't just, you know, because I always start off my interviews by just asking the students what is their perception of how the assignment actually went and getting information on, you know, where they thought they had stumbling blocks and so forth before I jump into, you know, the specific questions. And I mean, some students talk more than others. So, I mean, if we're just going directly to the questions, then it should probably take not as much time.
So maybe five? Does five feel reasonable in terms of workloads and so forth? Because we'll be doing our interviews in the spring semester, right?
Don't forget, just quick reminder that I will not have any students in the spring because I will not be here.
Okay.
So this would be carryover from.
Oh, you can do yours in the fall, though. It's Jennifer and I that can't do ours until the class is over.
So minimum number of students, 5, about?
Yeah, let's say 5.
Okay. So what are the questions specifically that we are going to be asking? Do we want to pick from the list that was given just now?
And I've emailed those to you. So
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. And so that we have the same wording, or at least as close as possible to the same wording.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then we can get those questions from the minutes. Or is this something we want to get in the minutes, think about, and come to a final decision at the next phone call? Or is that just dragging it out? What do you think?
We could probably do it, email back and forth, rather than wait for the next phone call if you don't want to drag it out.
Okay. So let's say, October... Maybe by October 15th, we'll make a decision about the questions through email. Is that too early, too late?
Sounds good.
Okay.
And is somebody going to, organize this type of, make sure we, send a reminder,
Would somebody like to do that?
I'm just wondering, because it seems to be, 6 questions, I wonder if we couldn't just get it done.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm fine also with the back and forth as long as somebody, is responsible for making sure we get it done.
Well, we have a half hour left on the call. I'm sure we could finish that, don't you think? Okay.
Yeah.
So I have, what do you have written down for the first one?
Do you understand by the term p-value? What information does the p-value provide? What role does the p-value play in the process of hypothesis testing? And how is the p-value related to significance levels? Oh, no, significance. I think it was just significance you said, right?
Significance.
Let me check.
Statistical significance.
How is the p-value related to statistical significance?
Mm-hmm. And then I had... okay, I'm going to just email you guys the questions right now.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If everybody's on. And again, my question is more, dependent on whether or not you teach that way. So we may or may not want to include my question, although I think I probably will for my students because I teach that way. Just for my own personal data.
The toothbrush?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What in terms of making it relevant to their lives?
It sounds like the toothbrush one is getting an application to their...
That's right.
Okay. That gets it. How would you apply this in your own everyday life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Aisha, when you present that, do they have time to... have they already read that before they come to you?
Yeah, they read it before we start p-value.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And then you ask them in the interview,
mm-hmm.
take that scenario and put it in.
And I asked on the test, too. And as we go through the unit, we always go back to the toothbrush example and, use that as our foundation.
Okay. Okay, I got your email.
Okay.
It looks like Jennifer's first question and my first question are kind of getting at the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't know, because I feel like Jennifer's first question is more your second question. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like, because my first and second question are very...
Yeah, close. Yeah.
But different students are going to respond to different questions. So, it might elicit the actual knowledge if we ask it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might confuse them.
What I did like to kind of what's the word I'm looking for? To alleviate some anxiety for the student sitting in front of you, I thought if I said to tell me in your own words that that would take off the pressure of you have to have it in terms of, you know, which is a lot like what Aisha's getting at, to
right.
put it in context.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we want to include that as the first question to just kind of relax the
mm-hmm.
situation, make it a little less formal.
I liked what Aisha said, how she started hers, because I'm thinking about my own personal experience of having to ask
mm-hmm.
Several weeks after the actual instrument was given,
right.
sort of asking, so how do you think that went, and, you know, so they're thinking back to that situation, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, because for me it's going to be a while, so I don't know if that's something that everybody would want to do, but that's
mm-hmm.
a consideration I think might be helpful
mm-hmm.
for me.
So how about if we just combine them, you know, and say, you know, tell me in your own words. You know, I like the, again, I like the idea of starting off with how did this go for you, just to break the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how about tell me in your own words what you understand by the term p-value. So we're kind of combining.
Yep.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Sure.
Okay. So that's the second one. You
and it there? Might be in them answering the first one, we get the answer to the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might. You know, I think we should use the questions as kind of guides rather than. And kind of go with the flow of the interview.
Okay.
But
okay.
just make sure that we have this information in the process.
Okay. So we're going to go with the six main questions or the seven questions, just make sure that we touch most of them.
Yeah. I think we should have them, you know, have them in front of us so we can make sure that we've got that information, and it may not come in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Like
right.
in answering question one,
right.
somebody might illustrate how it's relevant in their life. Like, well, for, they might give an example of how it could be used, which would answer them, you know, a different question.
Okay.
So wherever the answer comes, we just want to make sure we've got the information for the questions that we have.
Okay, so these are pretty much, so the seven questions are our questions then.
Okay.
It's pretty much what you're saying, Narasu?
Because I don't see any one of them that I feel like, oh, we don't need to ask that one.
Right. But I do think that there are, we should at least set up a minimum that we should ask. So I think it, well, I guess it's obvious that we should all start with the basic understanding of what a peak value is. So, okay. That makes sense. That was for me. What about you guys?
I prefer having a more open format,
okay.
like we're suggesting here, because... Well, I don't like rules, for one thing. But, no, the second thing is it just seems more natural with some students just to chat, or maybe they need to warm up, you know? So.
Okay.
How
what do you
that
think,
Jen? The reporting of the results?
I'm sorry?
How would that affect the reporting of our results when we actually report our the results of our interviews? Are we going to... I'm looking ahead at that aspect of it. Is it going to be difficult to tease those apart as far as the answers, or it's not going to matter because we're looking at themes, topics, areas, rather than specific? And again, I'm just thinking if we are looking at how the p-value is related to statistical significance versus what role it plays in hypothesis testing, do we have to separate those at the end in the analysis, or we don't have to. I agree that the students are going to kind of group their answers together, and they may answer one question really when they're thinking they're answering another question. We don't need a definitive separation there.
Well,
I don't think that we do. I'm just wondering as far as the afterwards.
I'm thinking that if, you know, because we'll have the questions with us as we're talking, if we feel like they haven't really related it to statistical significance, we can ask that question, like, you know, how does this relate? You know, we can make sure that we've got the answers that we need if they haven't answered them in their response somewhere. And then we can tease, you know, I think we'll be able to tease it out for reporting later, because if we've given them the opportunity to answer the questions that we have.
Sounds good.
Well, I think I seem to recall from our last conversation that we wanted a script in the intention of reducing variation among the
mm-hmm.
teaching styles and the different schools. So there's, you know, one argument against just having a free flow conversation, as well as it puts all the work on the back end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, in terms of planning our time with the scripts of the calls, et cetera.
Yeah.
So during the interview, are they recorded, or are we writing down their responses, or both?
I think they're recorded, aren't they? I'm planning on recording
mine. I was planning on recording it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Because then that way, you know, I just hate it when somebody's interviewing me and they're scribbling away because I'm curious to know what they're writing.
Plus, then I can give the tape to my TA and have them transcribe it.
Yeah, cast mine along. Can I forward mine?
Yeah, I need to put them to work. Sure.
I don't quite have that luxury.
I'm lucky this semester.
Okay.
All right, so we wanted to choose a theme, and we did, and we wanted to choose interview questions, and it sounds like we did. And we have about 20 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And what's left is to talk about the lit review, or I don't know if everyone's had a chance to look over everyone else's. What do we want to do next with that? Maybe we should come up with some kind of plan? That's my suggestion anyway.
Hold on. I don't have to look at everyone, so I'm going to have to look.
I was looking at it and thinking, like, okay, so once we have it, what do we want to do? I know we've got US Cost or US Cost, whatever we call it, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to have for that?
Mm-hmm. That was in...
I thought we were going to give our preliminary data for that.
Yeah, didn't we discuss that on the last call, I think?
Probably.
Let me go back and see if I can find the minutes.
When I got the evaluations back from JSM,
mm-hmm.
and one of the responses was that we didn't have much there.
Did we what? I'm sorry.
There wasn't much mm-hmm. there.
Okay.
Which is understandable because it was our pilot, and I'm wondering if when we present at USCOTS, if we want to not make it solely our findings, but maybe delve into these responses from the interview questions, which might be more interesting. It was just a thought, because I feel like the responses to what we have so far validate the literature,
mm-hmm.
But what interesting pieces can we, what's the take-home piece to that? What have we shown that is new, exciting, different? I think it's worthwhile to validate what's there, and it's part of what they even suggested in some of the literature articles. But
would you mind sending that feedback to us?
Yeah.
so we can
It was my evaluations of me.
Oh.
I have to find it. But it was just somebody's comment. You know how they write comments at the bottom? I believe it was just one statement that there wasn't, and that was kind of like what Jennifer Kaplan had said. I mean, she didn't put it in those words. She said, you know, this is everything that we've done is what Sharon has done and said. Can we take it a step further?
Oh, and suggest interventions. I think I'm looking at my notes from the last call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that we could
suggest. It was just when you look at evaluations, definitely you want to. I know that I take them with a
grain of salt.
Yeah, because I think that they made some valid points, but there were few of the responses.
Right.
And
Jennifer, this is Bob. Can I just chime in a little bit?
Sure.
I think you're on. I think really, it's one or two people saying this. I think there really is a need to see if you can replicate some of these results that other people have found. And I think, like Georgette said, if something that hasn't been done is actually suggested or tried out, teaching in a different way to see if you can actually change these conceptions. It's pretty much just been what's the variety of students' understandings or misunderstandings at this point is what we know.
Okay.
It was when you read the evaluations, you think, oh boy, we had all that work that we've done, and I read a couple of them. I thought, okay, well, we think it's pretty good. I don't know if it was me that didn't get it across that way, but
So in other words, we want to see if we can replicate the results that what's her name? I can't remember her
Sharon.
Name. Lane Gattaz?
Mm-hmm. Sharon, yeah.
Sharon Gott? Is that what the suggestion
is? I think it's Lane Gattaz. Positive how you say it.
Sharon, yeah. So we're trying to replicate that and then suggest an intervention?
Well,
I just need some clarification.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if what we have is enough. Maybe Bob can better answer that. Are we okay with, you know, this is really what we set out to do, I thought, and I think we're doing that, but do we need to, for the sake of a presentation that might have a little more something to it, or do we just put that out with future research implications? Or
I really think you guys are already taking on a pretty sizable task already.
Okay.
And that... this is so it's up to you guys to decide what you want to do, but our perspective is not that in the 2-year time you would come up with something that would really shake the cages of statistics education research. It's more that you would collaborate on a project and make some steps towards doing statistics education research. And now if you come up with something really interesting, that's great. But if you just kind of move yourselves forward and the discipline forward a little bit, I think that's great too. I just know how busy I am. I think you got enough on your table to work out here with these interview questions and the protocol, and then the analysis of what you get. But I think you're in a really like right place, is my personal opinion.
Well, that's great to hear. That's good.
Okay. So I scribble notes every now and again, and then I don't remember what I was thinking at the time. But I'm looking at some notes that I have talked about how we did this, so the methodology part of it, and the results where we got the three themes.
Uh-huh.
And then I have some notes about, in the discussion, looking at find match what was found in the literature, specifically looking at Sharon's themes, because she also had themes that she came up with. So
uh-huh.
Do those match? And if they do, okay, what is, so what? That kind of thing. And if they don't, then maybe we've found some, there's some other things to consider as well. And then the interviews, the interviews that we're going to do aimed at gaining a better understanding of how students are thinking about this. And then looking at the literature, the literature that we've done, especially the part that I did because I looked at the pedagogy piece, what interventions could we address this perception? And then that's when we'll do the follow-up, you know, the, I think it was spring or whenever we'll do the actual testing of an intervention changes anything.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of the big picture of what we were doing.
Okay.
But I guess as far as for our presentation at Ascot, probably we can go as far as, so after our interviews and the pilot that we did, we see the same themes that other people have found.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that tell us?
But I think, you know, this kind of, in terms of what Jennifer was suggesting about, you know, giving access to the exact student feedback, you know, student responses and so forth as part of the presentation, I think that would actually work. It will, because it will be in line with what Nairadzu is suggesting. So, Jennifer, we can still actually focus in on, you know, what our students specifically were saying, especially the interview part. You know, so we can pull out examples of the different types of misconceptions related to that.
I think as a conference participant, that would be quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's the data that you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't really have access to in an aggregate data. You know, you to see the responses, I think, is very interesting. I think
mm-hmm.
it's very telling.
Agreed.
I found that to be the most interesting part when we looked at each other's, the students' responses and found them to be so similar.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating.
I would say similar in their strangeness.
just like their instructors.
What variation? Well, okay, so we have about 10 minutes then. I'm just trying to keep us on track. So
mm-hmm.
do we want to talk about when the next meeting is?
Yeah, sounds good.
And summarize next steps? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the week of October 17th or the 24th?
The week of the 17th, we have fall break, so I'll prefer the week of the 25th if possible.
Fine with me.
Okay, which day are we looking at?
I don't know if Fridays are bad for you guys, but my
yeah.
Monday to Thursday are really full.
Fridays are pretty bad for me.
Okay.
Because we have a whole bunch of university meetings, and now we have college-level meetings on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm usually going until from 3 until 5. And sometimes before.
How is Monday? I have a class canceled that Monday, the 25th. What's it, 4 o'clock Eastern?
What time?
4 o'clock Eastern.
On
Monday, the 25th of October.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay, that works for me.
I wouldn't be able to do it till 5.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. If that's a problem.
And just to let you, and what time was that again now on Monday the 25th?
4.
Yeah.
But we could try 5, maybe.
Well, pretty much 3 o'clock, I could join you for a half hour or so. Mondays are just really full for me. I basically have between, let's see, 1 o'clock and 2:30 my time, so that's 2 o'clock and 3:30 on the East Coast.
So what about Tuesday? Because, I mean, like, this time, the 3:30 to 4:30 block, is that not very good?
Is it possible to go earlier than that? Earlier is better. For me, but when Bob said earlier than 3. I have, like, from 3 o'clock on, I'm involved in some carpool, so.
Which day? Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday the 26th. How about 2 p.m.?
I have class until 2 or 5. So 2:15 is probably the earliest I can get over here.
Could we do 2:30 then?
I think the only we've got to check with the there's some other webinars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's that week or the week prior.
I don't think anything's scheduled that week.
Okay.
Well, what it is today there was one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were right after it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So that's 6. Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying 2:30 Eastern time?
I can do any time after 2 and before 5.
Okay.
Me too.
Naratu, are you okay with 2:30?
Let me do the math. 2:30 is 14 minus 3.
Well, that might, if they do have a webinar,
uh-huh.
I think that's during that time.
Okay.
It's either 1 to 1:30 or 1:30 to 2, I can't recall. But so you would have to check that. So we might be okay. Well, I don't know.
Well, let me email Jean. Should we just email Jean? Or do we just want to choose a backup date? What about Thursday?
Well, what about Tuesday at 3 o'clock?
That's okay.
I think Jennifer was trying to get out earlier, right?
No, that's good on a Tuesday. That's good.
Oh, okay.
Tuesday the 26th at 3 o'clock?
I think Nairobi is still checking.
That works for me.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So that's 12 my time, right? I get confused because Bob is at a different time than you guys.
That's okay. I can handle it.
Was that 3 o'clock your time, Bob, or 3 o'clock?
So 3 o'clock Eastern is 2 o'clock my time, so that would be 2 to 3 for me.
All right.
Well, okay, and for the next time, while we're talking about it, I'm the organizer. Naradu, you're the moderator. Jennifer, you're the recorder, and Georgette, you're the synthesizer.
Okay.
And do we have tasks for next time?
I guess we should probably read the summary and keep working on it. I don't know.
Yeah, because we have to actually flesh it out into an actual,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
text.
And kind of see what it looks like when it goes together. And I'm going to send you, and you can feel free to hit delete. But I'm gonna send you some thoughts just so they not just my thoughts out of my head that I had about where we can go with, because I was thinking we could actually write 3 separate things out of this.
Oh yeah.
And I'll send you what I think and see what you think, because I've been looking at it for a while and that always clouds one's judgment.
Okay.
That somebody else looking
okay.
at the door. What are you smoking? I'll send that to you.
Okay, really quickly, Georgette?
Yes.
Did you say that all of the summaries are under Coil 14, right?
Yes.
Okay.
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 All right.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Ladies, and Bob.
Yep.
Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye bye.
I'm so sorry for that delay.
Not a problem.
All right.
Thank you. Please stand by.